This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Pittsburgh. Your amazing generosity during our 2025 Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. With your help, we were able to provide 258,375 meals to our neighbors in need through the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. A special thanks to our partners, Rome Monument, Hampton Beer Outlet, Memorial Highway, Chevy, Greater Pittsburgh Auto Dealers, Aetna, Isley's, and Beano's. That always is a huge day here at the station for all of our Odyssey Pittsburgh stations. It can be a stressful day for guys like us, Austin. You know, with you producing this show, me producing in the afternoon, Harry Callis producing in the morning, it can be stressful for us because we are trying to line up that day to be loaded.
Oh, yeah.
With guests, either athletes, current and former, people from the food bank, people that give back. But it always ends up working out in the end. We put together, I feel, some pretty loaded shows all across the board.
We did, and I know Joe and I were very proud of it, and we discussed it a lot afterwards because, you know, we had a guest every segment, and we ended up bringing Kenny Reggett in as well.
Yeah, that was a big one.
That was awesome from Bar 31. So, you know, it really is a day to be able to give back, and we talk about how Pittsburgh is really like a big city, small town vibe to it, you know, like it's really not that big of a city, you know, all things considered. It's seemingly so many people know each other from regardless of where it is. So it is really good to see every single time they're able to do something like this, the response from the people in the city that give back.
One of the other small towns in this state, not necessarily in Pittsburgh, it's quite a drive away. That is Loretto, and that is where St. Francis University is located. And they made some news earlier this week, making the move from Division I to Division III. The NCAA tournament, two games against Waynesburg and Teal and Grove City within a few years. That is the reality that teams and players and coaches are facing at St. Francis. And that's no knock against those D3 schools I mentioned. Listen, I love the President's Athletic Conference. Austin and I cover a lot of games in that conference. We attended one of those schools that I mentioned. But that is just to paint a picture for you of how the change is going. St. Francis basketball played a game against Maryland this season. Maryland played in the Sweet 16 last night. And in a few years, they will be playing a game against Geneva. It's a pretty drastic change for a program, and that in multiple programs, every single sport, every single coach and athlete, the sports info department, the funding, all of it, a huge, massive change. Rob Krimmel resigned as the head coach of St. Francis basketball yesterday. You can't blame the guy at all. You can't blame a single player, a single athlete for either transferring or decommitting, because that is a massive change that just took place. Not only did they drop from Division I. They didn't just drop to Division II, which I know people wondered if that would be, you know, why couldn't that be the change? They dropped down completely. And I did find it interesting. We had Rob Krimmel on last week before St. Francis played in that first four matchup, which has ended up being one of the most entertaining games of the entire NCAA tournament, and it was the very first game in Dayton. And the guys brought up to him competing at the Division I level, NIL, budget, things of that nature, and he said, we don't have an NIL budget. Not at all. There are $0 in our NIL budget. And that makes things difficult nowadays in college athletics. If you are a Division I program, if you do not have a dime in the name, image, and likeness budget. So we're going to see a mass exodus, I would think, where you see almost every single coach, player, staff member, maybe even that sports info staff I mentioned. You have to anticipate a school like that thinking, a lot of us, or a lot of them, are going to be out of here. And you can't really blame a single one of them for it because of how massive of a change this is. Given the landscape of college athletics, it feels like St. Francis will pretty much have to build things from the ground up. Maybe not entirely, but close. On the other hand, this is a huge get for the President's Athletic Conference. And Austin, we call games for the conference. You and I have done some games on TV locally. I do a lot of games for the conference's main network. I've called St. Vincent football games for almost a decade now, going on year 8 of calling St. Vincent football games. So I'm going to praise the work done by the PAC, Joe Onderko, and he was on with you the other night. And I'm not even sure how all of this came to be or what all was done, but you talked to him the other night. So how did he sort of paint the picture of everything happening with St. Francis?
Well, I'll let you hear it, Donnie, and then I'll expound upon it a little bit. This was the PAC Commissioner, Joe Onderko.
I was approached in probably early October, I would say, by a consultant that deals with a lot of Division I schools. And in fact, it was confidential enough. They didn't even want to let me know who they were representing, first of all. So we kind of established some ground rules on how we were going to deal with this. And then basically they introduced the folks at St. Francis to us, which brought about some discussions. We gathered information. And then they came and presented at our PAC President's Council meeting in December at the Duquesne Club. After that and a lot of discussion, our presidents voted unanimously to bring them in. And then it was just a question of when and how do you best announce this. And you know, is the one thing you've seen is, this is such an emotional topic for so many people on both sides of it. There really is no perfect time to do it. But I think they felt like they needed to find time that had the least disruption possible. And so rather than doing it, say, in January, which would have been right in the middle of basketball season, I decided to wait until now. And I think looking back on it, when you look at the run, the incredible run that the Red Flash men's basketball program had, winning the NEC and going to March Madness for the first time since 1991, that was absolutely the correct call on their part to go forward with the announcement now.
Man, so Joey O kept this under his cap a little bit.
How about that? And I've interviewed him from October on once or twice and wasn't tipped off at all. And I asked the question, are you thinking about adding anybody? Is it possible? And I did not hear anything. This was a shocker to me. And I talked to a lot of people around the conference. Radio silence. Not even like, hey, this might be happening. Hey, like just like a little nod towards Loretto or anything. No idea that this was coming down. So they did a really good job of hiding this secret.
I called the PAC Women's Basketball Championship game less than a month ago. It was March 1st. It was the first Saturday of March. and I interviewed Joe at halftime. And that's just always kind of a question I throw in there of, hey, you know, any sort of expansion news, whatever, because we do know that they are notably losing, at least in football, Carnegie Mellon.
Right.
Which was a big loss for them. But just kind of flew under the radar there. So, I mean, credit to Joe, you know, not coming out until the time that they wanted the announcement to take place. I'm not saying that he should have told us that this was happening. I still think it is a very good get for the conference. But, man, to have this under hat for 2 to 3 months, really.
And then since October, they were talked about this in October.
Yeah, and I guess it wasn't the PAC. Yeah, and I guess it wasn't proposed to them officially until December.
Right, when they officially voted on it.
So to have that under wraps for that long, and then the basketball team to go on the run they did, man, that would have made things really interesting to see how the reaction, I think, would have been if that gets announced in January as just part of, hey, it's 2025, this is a change that will be taking place, we will play out the rest of the season with our Division I programs. Like, say if that happens, and then St. Francis goes on that run.
They don't win the NEC. It doesn't happen in my mind.
Because you think the players probably check out.
I think partially, yes. I don't think that the run would happen. So, like, I understand it from that perspective. I'm sure that they thought, hey.
Because, like, it could have been a storybook ending of sorts.
Right.
Like, hey, this is our last go-around at D1, and they end up making the big dance.
So they will have one more year. Next year will be the final go-around. But this
Correct.
Year, I guess, really kind of is it. I think the timing kind of is. It's good from that perspective for basketball. It's also awful because it's the end of March, the middle of the end of March. Think about the freshmen that are incoming to St. Francis that maybe have shut down their recruitment. So many of their students are athletes. And I heard that there basically is going to be like a max exodus.
Oh, there would have to be.
People just getting up and leaving and getting out of there. Especially with all the people in administration and coaches that are already departing. Like, this is going to get a lot worse for St. Francis before it'll get at all better. It's going to be bad for them, I think. So incoming freshmen and people who only have like 1 year, for those that have like 1 year of eligibility left and want to play 1 year of D1, fine. Okay, you can maybe stick it out for one more year, especially if you're a senior getting your degree.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just incoming, you shut it down, you really wanted to go there, your dream was to play Division I, it takes another Division I team away from this area too. And I know that it's lower level D1. You're talking about a low major, not even a mid-major.
Yeah. Still D1.
Still D1. And that means something to people. It means something to athletes to say that you played Division I. It means something with scholarships as well. Going from D1, and people say, well, why didn't they just drop the D2? This is all about money. It's all about financing. And, I mean, maybe St. Francis is struggling more than we realize. They have a lot of really good facilities. Nobody will deny that. Their facilities are really good. But dropping down to D3 takes all the scholarship money out of it. And I feel like there is a lot more to this story that we frankly just do not know yet.
Yeah, I mean, we're really not privy to know what could be the bigger underlying issues. But yeah, I mean, I would expect next season that they will have some D1 athletes on those teams, but they will have more athletes of like my caliber than they will D1 caliber. You know, they're going to have D3 athletes on their teams because they're going to make that transition. Like, okay, then they'll fit in more with the Teal and the Bethany and the Waynesburgs of the world, more so than they're going to fit in with anybody in the NEC and teams in Division I.
And the other crazy thing about this to me is that at least in basketball, in 2020, when I was a freshman at RMU, St. Francis and RMU played in the NEC championship game. RMU beat them, went on to the tournament that ended up being the tournament that was not. We're talking 5 years later. Robert Morris has moved on to the Horizon League.
Yep.
They win their conference. The football team is getting there. The women's basketball team is really starting to find its stride again under a new head coach. Hockey is back. Look at the growth that RMU has made over the last 5 years in that same conference 5 years ago with St. Francis, taking Alabama all the way down to the ropes compared to St. Francis in the tournament, almost won a game, and now, boom, it's all gone. It's all gone. That's just the I don't know if it's the right word, but the futility maybe is the right word. It's just the way that college sports can change and dictate in just a five-year run where one school looks like it's on the rise and in a mid-major and another in that same conference 5 years ago in the same championship game, it seems like it's falling apart.
Imagine being on campus, too, when that news came out, whether you were an athlete or not. I mean, we went to schools that were these a similar size to St. Francis, a little bit smaller.
Yeah, probably by about 800 kids or so.
Yeah, but maybe not even that much. Like, maybe not even as drastic as what you just said, where, you know, we went to a school that had, what, like 1,400 undergrad?
Yeah, I looked it up, but it's right around 1,300, 1,400.
And St. Francis, you said, has how many undergrad?
Like about 1,900.
Okay, so right around 2,000. So, yeah, like 500, 600 student difference. Like, that rocks a small campus.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Rocks a community.
Like, you're checking everything to make sure this is actually legit. Like, I had a friend text me before I see thing at first, and he said, St. Francis is going to the PAC. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, St. Francis that just made the tournament, they're gonna play in the President's Athletic Conference. They're going to be playing W&J and Waynesburg and Teal. And
they're going to Franciscan and to Geneva.
Hiram now in the conference. Yeah. They're like, yeah, they're going to the PAC.
They're driving all the way up to our friends at Allegheny.
Yeah, sure enough, I start to see all the tweets. I see St. Francis Athletics tweeted out. We see the PAC tweeted out. We see, like, major college outlets tweeting it out.
Yeah, John Rothstein was throwing it out there. Nicole Arbach was throwing it out there.
It also makes me wonder that they won't be the first, or that they will be the first one, but they won't be the only one.
No doubt about it.
And that does this.
Ondurko mentioned, I can't exactly remember the team or the school, that about 5 years ago this happened for a school in the Northeast, like right around the New York, New Jersey area. A similar thing happened where they were D1 to D3. So there is, like, and the thought was for Ondurko, like, is this the start of it? St. Francis, I truly believe that this will be the beginning just because of where everything is with NIL, transfer portal. Like, look at RMU. Like, I'm going to put this in the breakdown, but RMU's, like, entire starting five is gone.
Gone. Pillaged.
How ridiculous is this for college sports? And, I mean, might as well just say it now. Like, the top of the top, like the Alabamas of the world, the Tennessees of the world, the Michigan States of the world, the North Carolinas, the Dukes, they get to benefit so significantly by this NIL transfer portal, all the above thing. And, you know, the national media will tell you, oh, well, that is all that people care about. That's all that matters, you know, our blue bloods and the best of the best. But if you're talking small town America, the people that, you know, we don't want to be truly forgotten, that sometimes get forgotten in a national perspective, like what's going on in Loretto, what could happen at other schools if D1 programs fold and have to move down to, maybe it's not D2, but it's the D3. Those are the real problems that ensue. And what we always wondered, what's that bomb that's going to drop that ends up being the huge downside of this? We're seeing it now with St. Francis.